Good morning. That was much better. We all woke up. Let's all stand. Turn to number 432. Number 432. Join the choir in singing Angels from the Realms of Glory. Let's sing it out this morning.
Angels from the realms of glory, wing your flight o'er all the earth. Ye who sang creation's story, now proclaim Messiah's birth. Come and worship, worship Christ the newborn King.
Got some thank you notes here, and Brother Joe Pierce is very thankful for the gift box that they got as well. And then this first one's going to be from Lee and Sharon Weeks. This is Miss Kay's sister, and she says, thank you for the remembrance of Kay McCall with the tricolor poinsettia for her funeral. Also, thank you for all being her friends through the years. Her church family was so important to her. And now she's on the other side. She's up in heaven with other of her church family still up there. And so it's just, you kind of shift sides, and eventually we'll all get there and be together once again. Tony and Lynn Burden say, Tony and I thank y'all. She got that Southern in her. Y'all for the cards, food boxes, and generous gift that we received. We are grateful to have such a wonderful church family. And this one is from Alice Bennett, a pastor and church family. Praise the Lord and bless you all for the food basket and gift card. It is indeed a blessing. As every one of you, I am truly thankful to be a part of this church family and have a pastor who goes above and beyond in time of need. Again, thank you all and have a Merry Christmas. Loving Christ, Alice Bennett. And then this is from my mom. Dear church family, thank you so much for all the cards, prayers, and Christmas cards I've received. I feel stronger each day. Thanks especially to Pastor and Colleen, Brianna, and Benjamin that sat with me till Tessa got down here. Love and prayers, Grandma Decker, and she is with us this morning in a much better state than she was last Sunday morning at this time, for sure. And then, so we were able, thankfully, through the gift baskets and all of that that came in, we were able to be a help to 9 different families this year. Which is a blessing, and it's good just to be a help. And we got together with the deacons and just try to seek out and find out who may have a need. And so sometimes we know, sometimes we don't know, sometimes we know status, sometimes we don't know how things are going. So, and then also as a church, we sent $500 to 3 different pastors who maybe their churches aren't able to fully support them or help them. And God's blessed us. God's taken care of us. So I've got a couple letters back from there. This is from Pastor Harold Teasdale. They're over in the Chicago area. And he said, "Dear Ottumwa Baptist Temple, what an expected blessing it was when we opened the letter from you and found a check for $500. Our family is very humbled by your generosity and your sensitivity to the Lord's voice. The ministry always has its challenges, but God is faithful throughout it all. We are praying that the Lord will pour out his blessings in our community and will see souls saved." So that's a blessing to be a blessing, isn't it? If we can encourage somebody to stay in the ministry, boy, we need good people, godly people staying in the ministry. And then this one is from Pastor Brian Vetter. Pastor Brian Vetter and his family, and it looks like they've got five children. But it says, and I know also the Teasdale family's got several children. But they say, "Thank you, Pastor Decker and Ottumwa Baptist Temple, for the Christmas gift and check. It was such a blessing right now." God's on time.
Amen. And
every time. And then I got a phone call from Pastor Andy Teasdale out in Pennsylvania. He said he'd be sending... got something dropping in my head. He said that he would be sending a thank you letter, but he called and left a message on the phone, and just what an unexpected surprise that it was. And, you know, it's a blessing. We do not reach out to these pastors ahead of time. What I do is I contact other people and say, "Do you know of good men? Good men knowing of good men who are standing on the right stuff, and their churches are standing on the right stuff." We just want to be a blessing and encouragement to them. So lots of thank you notes. It's that time of year. But boy, we ought to be thankful all year. And it is a blessing to be able to do that. And I want to say thank you. We've gotten different cards and little packages and things on the back table. And as a reminder, many, many, many of you have things on the back table back there with your name on it. So everybody after service, please go back there and check and wipe that table out. Get your Christmas card. Most of it's just Christmas cards and things, but there are some gift bags and things back there as well. So check there, see if your name's on something. Pick those up today during the services. Let's pray. Father, we are grateful. Ultimately, we are so thankful to you. God, it is the time of year that we remember more than other times of the year about you sending the Lord Jesus Christ, him being born. And God, we understand that he was probably born in the middle of September, but it's a season to be celebrated. Anytime we can remember the birth of your dear son, his death on the cross, but the resurrection. And what a blessing that is. Father, we thank you for church family. We thank you for just the ability to be a blessing to others. And God, we want to continue to do that. We want to be a blessing. It's better to give than to receive. And Father, I pray you would help us with that. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you.
Let's take our hymnals again. Turn to number 421. Number 421, the first Noel.
The first Noel.
To think he is the King of Israel, yes, but he's also the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. He's our King. We need to not crown him King as in put the crown on his head, but we need to acknowledge that he is the King. He is the Lord. He is our Lord. Let's sing it out. Number 421.
Then
I would like to meet with the deacons tonight following the service, just to go over a few things for the ordination for Nathaniel Wasson, and the questioning for the ordination will be from 9 to 12:30 on Saturday, as we get 3.5 hours of interrogation.
Right.
Look, if we're going to put our stamp of approval on someone going out, they need to be able to defend their faith.
It's true.
Right? And so we're going to do that. I'll meet with the deacons tonight following the service. We do have the Lord's Supper tonight as well, and I know that that's going to be a process, but maybe we can throw some institute students on cleanup for that afterwards and free up the deacons for a meeting. So if you guys would take note of that and take care of that. So with that questioning, so any men of the church are able to participate in that questioning. It'll be headed by myself and the deacons and Brother Schrock, and then we'll have a couple of pews here of other men. If you want to ask some questions, you are welcome to sit down here. Lunch will be provided following that. for just the men that participate in the questioning. Anybody can come and listen, but if you're going to be a man that participates in the questioning, please sign up at the back table. We have to know, my wife absolutely needs to know, how many people we need to feed on Saturday. We've got Christmas, we've got New Year. She's like, how did this land in the middle of Christmas and New Year? I said, well, to question him, he has to be here. And he's out traveling all the time, getting support and all that. So this is when he's here. It's when it works out. So anyway, please sign up this morning after service. And if you forget this morning, please sign up tonight. We have to know that number. Okay. And then Sunday will be the actual ordination, providing he passes the questioning. No pressure. So he even grew a beard for this whole thing. I said, you know what? They don't have Brillo pads in Alaska, and so he's growing his own Brillo pads. He can just cut them off, glue them together, and scour pans there. Never seen a beard quite like that one. There will be no King's Kids for the next 2 weeks. The ladies who make cookies for the fourth week and the first week do not need to make them, okay? So we don't need a lot of extra cookies around because right after the new year, I've got to go on a diet. It is rough, isn't it? How many other people feel the same way? We got one honest person. All right. Maybe the others have just given up. You know, it's like, it is what it is, right? All right. You have a special this morning. We'll have a special, and then Brother Wasson will come up and give his testimony right after that special.
Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shining afar through shadows dim, giving a light to those who long have gone, and guiding the wise men on their way unto the place where Jesus lay. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Until the glory dawn, oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of light, guiding the pilgrim through the night, over the mountain till the break of dawn, and into the light of perfect day, it will give out a lovely ray. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine upon us until the glory dawn. Oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star, the hope of rest for the redeemed, the good and blessed. Yonder in glory when the crown is won, for Jesus is now that star divine, brighter and brighter he will shine. Beautiful star of Bethlehem, shine on. Oh, beautiful star. Until the glory dawn, oh, give us thy light to light the way into the land of perfect day.
as Brother Nathaniel comes, I want one more announcement. Lori Bennett has made some things, woodworking things, and I don't know what else you would call it. Back in the back, there is a display of those things, and she's made those. It's just something that a little extra income for her, but some of those things are nice for little Christmas presents and things like that. If you want to get something from back there, it'll be there basically through Christmas, and then she'll take it down after that. So anyway, just wanted, I failed to make announcements on that up till this time, and so I just wanted to do that.
All right. As most of you know, I grew up in a Christian home. I was born March 14th, 99, and so now the secret is out. You know I'm 25 years old. Grew up in a Christian home, not a perfect home by any stretch of the imagination. Whose home is? A home that definitely laid a foundation on the Word of God. Not always, you know, as per se that I would have, you know, want my own to be, but nevertheless, a foundation on the Word of God, a foundation that I would say that, you know, anybody with a foundation like that and the Word of God that chooses to follow God can choose to follow God. And, you know, you don't have to have that foundation either to do it. You can, you know, clearly. There's many, many people that don't. But grew up in a Christian home, had a foundation laid. And, you know, by God's grace and God's help, have chose to build upon that foundation and to grow in the Word of God, and to grow in the knowledge of God. And it has been, you know, through His Word and through seeking and desiring to serve Him that I am where I am today. But you know, it's been interesting. The Lord has helped me through a lot of things. And you know, when I choose to follow the Lord, when I choose to be submitted to Him, He helps you. Right. When you choose to go your own way, He lets you know you're on your own way pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And you know, there's been many times in life where you get a little proud, you get a little, oh, this is me. At least this is, for me, it's been that way. I don't know, maybe you all got this fixed. And you know, you start to do your own thing. You start to wander a little bit and go, yeah, I got this. And you know, anybody guilty of stupid mistakes? I am king of stupid mistakes. King of stupid mistakes. Just ask Pastor about the first sermon. Anyways, but you know what? If I chose to do my own thing and chose to, you know, believe I was doing my own thing and had this, God always would come along, give you a little kick in the pants,
right,
drop you down a little hard, and be like, yeah, I don't have nothing.
Right.
I don't have anything.
Right.
It's all for the glory of God. I was called to preach when I was 13 years old, just praying, seeking the Lord's direction in my life. I knew He had a purpose. I knew He had a plan. I knew He had something specific for me, not a general plan, and I just really wanted to know what that was. I wanted to know what I was supposed to live my life for. So at the age of 13, the Lord called me to preach. It was not what I wanted to do. It was I was not against ministry, but I was the guy that said, I'm going to run a business and support it. I'm not going to be in it. And the Lord had other plans. And He brought me full circle on that. It took some time. Moses on the backside of the desert, He used largely there, arguing with God. But it was very interesting. You know, the Lord has worked. And the Lord has led. It's been, I would like to think I'm in a much different position in life than I was as that 13-year-old boy that literally knew nothing about life at all. But it's all because of the Lord, and it's because of Him. I want to close with this verse. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Verse 6 there, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Amen. It's all the Lord.
Amen.
You know, I'm here today, I'm on deputation today, headed for Alaska, because the Lord is good.
Amen.
Because the Lord chose to use a little punk who knew nothing, but was willing to try. And it's all the Lord.
Amen.
And if it's me, I'll fail.
I think we probably could, there's several of us that would argue with him that he's the king of stupid mistakes, because we all make them, right? Boy, we just make a mess of things. We would make a mess of things if it weren't for the Lord. Let's stand one more time. Turn to number 280. Number 280, softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. That little baby didn't stay a baby. He was God encased in flesh. And He's calling to you today. And you say, well, I'm not away from home. No, but we're all one step away from being away from home. And he wants us to come to him every day and seek his guidance, his help every day. Well, if we don't, where are we going to be? Flat on our face, real quick. We need to come to him every day. Let's just sing on the first there, number 280.
Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me.
Be seated.
As you turn to Galatians chapter 4, I just want to say thank you to Brother Schrock, Brother Reed, Brother Benjamin, and Brother Timothy for preaching. While we were gone, I was actually back for Wednesday night, because we came back a bit early, but they did a very good job preaching the Word of God. If it's the Word of God, and I'm going to say this, if you didn't get anything out of it, you either weren't listening, you weren't paying attention to the Holy Spirit, because the Word of God was preached, and I listened to four of those messages. I did not get to Sunday school yet, but we'll catch up with that sometime, I'm sure. Galatians chapter 4, I want to read verses 3 through 7. Galatians 4, verse 3 through 7, says, even so, we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons of God, hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. I want to look at the fullness of time this morning, connected with the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, and what a fabulous, fabulous truth it is in understanding that God has his time for everything. Father, we thank you for your word. God, I pray that you would speak to our hearts this morning. God, as this week we celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ to be born. Father, literally every Sunday is Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday we are reminded that as we meet on the first day of the week that Jesus rose from the dead, but occasionally we look back and celebrate like the angels did his birth. And so, God, I pray that you would help us and see the significance of that today, and then as well Wednesday. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Before the time, before the fullness of time, there was only bondage. You notice in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 3, even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. This bondage was there. It was upon every person. The bondage was there because we were all under the law, and every one of us being under the law, we were found guilty. The law was against us. The law was there to show us that we were sinners before God Almighty. And every time that law was presented, there was something in us that said, you've broken that. You're guilty of that. And there literally is this bondage where we're living under the bondage of sin. And even so many times when people want to do right, there's still this bondage holding them in. It's like you try to reform, you try to change. And without the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, you do not get full deliverance from that sin and that direction that you're going. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 10 says this, which stood only in meats and drinks and diverse washings and carnal ordinances imposed on them until the time of Reformation. You know, every time they were bringing an animal sacrifice, every time that they were doing a washing or a cleansing or some kind of ceremony throughout the Old Testament, it would remind them that they're still sinners. It would remind them that they're still under bondage. It would remind them that the fullness of time has not yet come. And that was repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated until finally redemption shows up. You think about these timelines. God works in God's timeline. You think about the time of this. The promise was made to Eve back when she first sinned. And the promise was made that eventually the seed of a woman. Well, that's a unique phrase because a woman has no seed. But the seed of the woman, the virgin birth, was promised in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 15. And you can look ahead and see that eventually God does a new thing in the earth. And that new thing was to bring forth the Lord Jesus Christ of the Virgin Mary. And that was God's timeline. But that promise is Genesis 3:15. Years passed. The flood took place 1,600 years into human history. After the flood, years passed. And finally, God speaks to a man named Abraham. And as he speaks to Abraham, he says, I'm giving you a promise that through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed. And that promise was that through Abraham would come the promise that was given to Eve some 2,000 years earlier. And God's timeline works on. You know, God is working, and what we need to understand is God's timeline is not our timeline. Sometimes we see how things work together, and we see God working over the course of 8 or 10 days. We have experienced that in the last week, how God did this, and this happened, and this happened, and we didn't see any of the good in it until we got to the good of it. And it's like God could not have put pieces together better than He did. And you watch that over a course of 10 days, you see it pretty clearly. Sometimes God's working over the course of a year. Sometimes God's working over the course of a century. We sometimes don't see until we're way out here. You look at things and you don't understand. And I know there's things going on within the church family right now where people are hurting, where people are suffering, where people are just like, this is going on for so long and it's so long. Just watch and see. God is still good. You can still trust Him. You can still know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. You will be able someday to look back, and sometimes we look at those things and we may not know until we get to heaven what God was doing. But trust Him. Don't doubt God. Don't doubt God because it seems like things are going wrong. You trust God and wait for the end of the thing. God has a plan and God's working. Here you can look at it. Men were in sin. Men were under the bondage of sin. And these promises are there and the promises are there. And then the promise comes to David that in his line would be born a king and he would have the throne forever. And the promise, and they're waiting and they're waiting, and they went through captivity and came back to the land and they're waiting. And then there's 400 years of relative silence and they're waiting and say, when? But God says this, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. The fullness of time was prophesied. Zechariah 2, 10 and 11 says, sing and rejoice, O daughter of Zion, for lo, I come, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, saith the Lord, and many nations shall be joined to the Lord in that day, and shall be my people, and I will dwell in the midst of thee, and thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto thee. See, they promised Jesus Christ. They didn't know Him by name yet, but they knew that there would be a virgin-born Son of God that would come down and dwell among the people in God's time. Jeremiah 31:22 says, "How long wilt thou go about, O thou backsliding daughter? For the Lord hath created a new thing in the earth, a woman shall compass a man." See, the tendency can be this. Where are these promises? God made promises, and he says, look, Israel, you have backslidden, waiting. You haven't seen it happen yet, so you are beginning to think that the promises are not going to come true, and you've backslidden. He says, I'm telling you, the virgin birth is still going to take place. I'm telling you, I've got a timeline. Peter warns us that we, if we're not careful, we could think that God's promise of Jesus coming for the rapture and then returning for the millennial reign might not be going to happen. And when people forget that those things are going to happen, they're prone to backslide. Promises of God are promises that are going to be kept. God cannot lie. But the tendency can be is, I'm not seeing the end of this thing. I'm not seeing how this is going to work out, so I'm going to give up. And that's what Israel did. Daniel chapter 9, if you'll turn there, Daniel 9:24 shows that Jesus Christ, the promise, again, a prophecy of him coming, but a prophecy of him coming for a very specific purpose. This prophecy was missed by the nation of Israel. When Jesus came, they were looking for someone to come who would free them politically. See, they were jumping ahead to the millennial reign, and they were missing the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, where he would walk among men and die for mankind so that they could be saved. In Genesis, or Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 26, the Bible says, 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make a reconciliation for iniquity, and to bring in everlasting righteousness, and to seal up the vision and prophesy, and to anoint the most holy. Now, that's quite a list of things. But he said, this is going to happen in 70 weeks. Now, this was 70 weeks of years. So basically, the timeline is laid out. It's 70 weeks of 7 years, so 490 years. Know therefore and understand, verse 25, that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto Messiah the Prince shall be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. The street shall be built again, the wall even troublous times, and after 62 weeks, shall Messiah be cut off, but what does it say? But not for himself. He shall be cut off, but not for himself. Now look, 69 weeks passed, 69 weeks of 7 years, 69 weeks of 7 years passed, and right on time, Jesus Christ died on the cross. But see, if you're reading through and you're looking at the millennial reign that's also prophesied, and you miss that the purpose of Jesus' first coming was to die on the cross, and Israel is there, and they're like, okay, Messiah is going to come, and he's going to save us politically. He's going to reign over us. And if they miss this verse in Daniel, what happened was so many people were looking for a king that they missed Jesus Christ dying on the cross. And when he died on the cross, they actually thought, well, that wasn't the Messiah. Couldn't have been him. We're looking for a king, somebody to reign. Now, that's still coming. You can't miss the prophecies and you can't get them out of order. And so the promise is there, but it's in God's time. And so here he comes. Jesus Christ comes for the purpose of being cut off and him dying, him living a perfect life. Go back to Galatians. It says in verse 4 of Galatians chapter 4, "But when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." So this fullness of time was prophesied. This fullness of time was then announced in Mark chapter 1 and verse 15, says, "And saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel." But how many people missed it? The message was there. It was preached and they weren't paying attention to what purpose Jesus had. Now, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died that time around and rose again? Because without that, we would have no salvation. I am so thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ. I am so thankful. But it was in God's timing. The fullness of time brought redemption and freedom. It brought redemption and freedom. It took, verse 5 of Galatians chapter 4, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. "And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father." You look at it and you know, many times, how many of you, when you ask the Lord to save you, you mention something about Jesus coming into your heart? You remember that? You don't have to use those words. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." But the idea of the Spirit of Jesus coming into your heart is the Holy Spirit of God. The moment that you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of Christ, the Holy Spirit of God moved into your heart. He, if you will, possessed you. He, if you will, moved into you, and He sealed you, and He is the earnest of your salvation, and He'll never leave you, and He'll never forsake you, and He's there. You can quench Him and you can grieve Him, but He'll stay with you. Praise God for the Spirit of Christ. And it's that very Spirit that takes us from being under the family of the devil and puts us into the family of God by way of adoption. And it is that that leads us to an inheritance of eternal life, an inheritance of all things that go along with Jesus Christ. We're joint heirs together with Him. So it starts out, you've got this bondage, and then you've got the deliverer from the bondage in God's time, and it came. All of those Old Testament saints that are listed in Hebrews chapter 11, it says, these died without having received the promise. But they've received it now. They've gotten it now. And so we can look at God's timeline and you can say, it just doesn't seem to be working out for me. One day, you'll leave this world, you'll go to heaven, and you'll experience the absolute fullness of your salvation. The heir, you'll get to see God, your heavenly Father. You'll get to see Jesus Christ who died for you if you're saved. But this fullness, it brought redemption and it brought freedom. The opposite of bondage is freedom. Micah chapter 5, verse 2 and 3, the prophecy concerning Jesus being born in Bethlehem says this, "But thou, Bethlehem Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth unto me that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." Wait a minute. Wasn't Jesus born in basically 2,000 years ago? But yet the Bible says his goings forth have been from everlasting. Yeah, Jesus came into a body that was prepared for him. Boy, the conception of Mary was the conception of a body that Jesus Christ came into. It was not the conception of Jesus Christ. Jesus preexisted. But he came. In God's time, he came. And the Bible says, therefore will he give them up until the time that she which travaileth hath brought forth them, the remnant of his brethren shall return unto the children of Israel. See, the fullness of time brought redemption and it brought freedom. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 14 says, blotting out the handwriting of the ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. See, all of those ordinances of the Old Testament, they were there, once again demonstrating, you can't free yourself. No amount of keeping of ordinances will get you to heaven. No amount of religious service will get you to heaven. No amount of you changing or turning over a new leaf will get you to heaven. No amount of your work or effort can undo the fact that you are a guilty sinner before God and that your eternal destination is hell. There's nothing you can do. All of that keeping, trying to keep the law, all of the attempts of bringing the sacrifices and all of that did, those were demonstrations of faith. A person is saved in the Old Testament and the New by grace through faith. By grace through faith. Works accomplish nothing. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the what? Gift of God. Not of what? Works, lest any man should boast. You know, Nathaniel's testimony. We're nothing. I'm not saved because I'm a preacher. I'm not saved because I read the Bible. I'm not saved because I went to church most of my life. I'm not saved for any of those reasons. I'm saved because I realized I was a sinner on my way to hell. The law showed me and demonstrated to me that I was guilty. And when I realized I was on my way to hell and I could do nothing about it, I called out to Jesus and Jesus saved me. And every person that's saved, they may have a lot of different things that led up to that point, but everyone that's saved got saved by first understanding they were a sinner on their way to hell and realizing no religion, no works, no nothing can save me except Jesus Christ. And you turn and believe in Jesus Christ that He was the payment for your sin, that He died for you, He died to take your place. And call upon the Lord Jesus Christ and you get saved. And then you're not under bondage anymore. No one can threaten you with hell anymore. And the law becomes something completely different. Instead of the law saying you're guilty, you're guilty, you're guilty, the law becomes to you, how does God want me to live now that I'm His son? And instead of it being something that shows you guilty, 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 the law becomes, wow, that's what God would like me to do. God, help me to please you. God, help me to keep your ways. God, help me to live under your direction. God, I'm yours. I'm your child. I'm your son. God, help me to live for you. And it changes the whole of everything. And it's no longer I'm afraid of going to hell. It's I have a home in heaven. And I'm no longer under this guilt and this weight. I've been relieved from the guilt and the weight. And Jesus Christ paid it all. And now I have the freedom to live for Jesus Christ. And I want to do that. The fullness of time also brought about unity between peoples who were divided. Go to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. You take two people, say from two different races, two different nations, and someone adopts this one and someone adopts this one, and they're then raised in the same family together. They are brought from being separated to being unified. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 10 says this, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance. We look at this and understand, I got saved. Somebody in Russia got saved. Somebody in Brazil got saved. Somebody in China got saved. And you know what? Those people gather together and are unified in Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter anymore. The Bible says neither Jew nor Gentile nor Greek nor barbarian nor Scythian. And it lists all of these different groups who would normally be opposed to each other. And he says, once a person is in Christ, we all have the same Heavenly Father. And so the fullness of time, boy, Jew and Gentile were divided. Jew and Samaritan were divided. But in the fullness of time, you take a Jew who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you take a Samaritan who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, you take a Gentile who trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in the fullness of time, God brings all of them together. What a wonderful thing that is. I'm so glad within our church family, we have people that originated in Cameroon and in Liberia and in El Salvador and in other places, and we're here together with the same Savior, with the same Father, and there's no rift between any of us. Why? Because of the Lord Jesus Christ. The fullness of time brought about unity. Ephesians 2, verse 11 through 14 expounds upon this just a little further. Ephesians 2, 11 through 14, wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles. He's writing to the church of Ephesus. You were just a bunch of Gentiles. Under in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. By the way, religion divides. Jesus Christ unifies. That at the time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, there's something different. So Jews and Gentiles were divided, but now there's something different. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Both one. Broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Could I have a man step out in that hallway and find out what's going on? Thank you. We look at this and we understand the fullness of time. God's timing. God does all things wonderfully. He does all things beautifully. We see it in the birth of his son. All that prophecy was fulfilled. Guess what? Jesus is coming. The rapture's coming. The millennial reign's still coming. Trust Jesus. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And we look at that and understand that, and by the grace of God, we'll take and trust God every day, no matter what is going on, no matter what, because God, it may take some time, but he does it all. He works it all out in his time. Don't get upset at God if things don't seem to be going well. Don't get upset at God if you watch things and you don't like what's happening. God's good. God keeps his promises. Have you trusted Christ as your Savior? you're here today. I don't really see visitors among us today. Maybe there's some young people who haven't yet trusted Jesus Christ. We're sinners. Hell's a real place, a lake of fire. And the only way to escape sin and the penalty of sin is Jesus Christ. Maybe you're here today and you need to be saved. Jesus came in the fullness of time for your redemption. Maybe you're here today and you're saved, but you've taken your eyes off the fact that Jesus is still coming. Maybe you've lived for yourself. You've shifted your point of view. Maybe you're tinkering on doubt. You're wondering whether any of it's real. It is. Just God's timeline and yours aren't the same. Maybe you're here today and you say, I don't know how this is going to work out. I just don't seem to be God resolving this. I don't see God resolving this thing in my life. Be patient. Be patient. And whatever you do, don't go away from God because you're not seeing what you think should happen in your timeline. You stay with it. God's working. God's moving. God's doing His part. Sometimes, and God gives us a free will, sometimes we use our free will and go the wrong direction. A saved person's a saved person. Heaven's real. Keep your focus. And let's remember, as we come into this Christmas season, let's remember and let it be a reminder to us, God keeps all of His promises in His time. The fullness of time. So God knew when He was going to send His Son. He said it 483 years earlier. Down to the year. Now on the rapture, we don't have a year. On the millennial reign, we don't have a year. We just know that it's going to be roughly 7 years after the start of the tribulation time. See, there's 1 week left for the nation of Israel. And that'll come about. God keeps His promises. Trust Him. Trust Him. Let's stand to our feet. We have an invitation. If you're here and you need to be saved today, I ask you to come. If you're here and you're saved, and maybe you've lost focus a little bit, come and talk to the Lord about it. Father, I ask that You would help us. God, guide us during this time. Father, help us to be sensitive to Your Spirit. God, renew our faith and our trust day by day, week by week. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. As the piano plays, come and talk to the Lord. I want my spouse to be saved. Keep praying. I want a lost one to come back to the one that's gone astray to come back to the Lord. Keep praying. Thank you. All right, I hope that you'll come back tonight, and we're having the Lord's Supper tonight for those that are saved and baptized and a part of this church body, and we'll look forward to that. And just a reminder, it's Christmas time. Not a bad time to remember the Lord Jesus Christ and all that he did for us. And so do just be thinking about that, thinking about what God has done for us. Have a great afternoon. Come back tonight. Have a great week, great Christmas time, and a great time with family and friends and all that goes along with it. All right? Have a great afternoon.